roll call. Good evening, Commission. Roll call. Commissioner Munoz and Commissioner Sedaris are not available this evening. Commissioner Mahan?
Present.
Chair Hale?
Here.
Commissioner O'Toole?
Here.
Commissioner Crowley?
Here.
Okay. Turning to Commissioner reports and announcements, does anyone have anything to share this evening? I will make one announcement. I believe the Morro Bay, you can help me with the name of the weekend, Rock to Rock Run. I think it's a 5-mile run back down from the rock to the point near A Beach and back. That's taking place on Saturday morning, and the money goes toward the Community Foundation. So we want to encourage everyone to come out. I think this is the second annual run. Last year was a lot of fun. This year should be great as well. So come on down, get yourself registered if you haven't already. Any other announcements?
There's one more announcement. The Harbor Festival is on this weekend, October 3rd and 4th, from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m. or so. I don't know what the exact times are, but the Harbor Festival is on this weekend.
Okay. We're going to kick things off with a presentation tonight by Karen Robert, who is going to give us some information about the Morro Bay Community Pool Foundation and update us on the organization's efforts.
Good evening. Thank you for allowing us to come here, especially after you provided us with your support last year. First, I would like to introduce our current board that is here tonight. I have Vice President and Secretary Pat Hawley. They could just stand. Treasurer Rick Gilligan and Steve Hamill, who's in charge of communications. Our foundation officially became a nonprofit tax-exempt public charity foundation on August 22nd last year, and we are an all-volunteer organization offering no salaried positions. Our purpose is to facilitate the building maintenance and or operation of a year-round community aquatic center on the north coast of San Luis Obispo County. Our mission is to ensure that Morro Bay residents have year-round swimming opportunities available to them not only in the future but now. That's very important to us. To meet this mission, our board is committed to being an advocate for residents of the North Coast, especially Morro Bay, by helping to build, preserve, and sustain year-round swimming accessibility to our community. Because of this commitment, the goal of this foundation is twofold. And the first is to be an advocate for our swimming community by helping to preserve and enhance existing local pool programs for the benefit of this community. Because as you know, we have very little that it's available to us. So whatever we have available to us, it's important that we be able to make sure it is still there for the community. And the second part of our mission is to raise funds to build a community aquatic center. I think our letters that are in your packet should address questions and confusion and concerns that you had about the two different pool groups in Morro Bay. And we feel this information is important background information for you to have, but not necessarily something to detail in this presentation tonight. But we are available for any questions that you might have. I do have some news, and our first news update is we have formed a partnership, our foundation, with Cuesta College's Community Programs Aquatics to help save our swimming for community access because community matters. And as you know, Cuesta College is the only place that serves our North Coast residents year-round. So we find that an important partnership, and we're very excited that Cuesta College is working with us in that regard. Right now, what is happening with Cuesta's programs, and I'm sure you've been quite aware of all the budget issues that have been going on at Cuesta and elsewhere. In order to sustain their current programs, Cuesta expects fee-based programs such as community programs, which is in charge of aquatics, to be self-supporting and self-sufficient. And in the past, Cuesta subsidized the staffing cost for their community programs' aquatics activities, which included salaries for lifeguards and instructors. And the recent change with Cuesta's budget is that they are no longer going to do that. So Cuesta Community Programs has to be able to come up with their own funding to meet that. So it really became clear to us as a foundation that the Morro Bay community really needed to be unified and represented by us to present a strong voice in support of these programs, or additional community aquatics programs could be subject to discontinuance, and that is certainly not anything that we want. For example, if you want to swim early morning at Cuesta College, you can only do it on Monday and Wednesday, and sometimes Fridays. But they do not have Tuesday, Thursday, early morning lap swim. So we want to see what we can do about funding new programs. And then we want to increase the visibility of the program to the public through marketing and promotion efforts. And part of this initiative will be a joint fundraising event that we're going to be doing in the spring. The second news update is the county, as you can well imagine, is in similar shape with community aquatic offerings due to budget constraints. And if it weren't for the community coming together, Hardy Pool, Chamel Pool, and other community pools would have been closed this summer. But the community came forward and raised money so that those pools could be open. And not only open, but they made it available and access for free. They paid for the aqua aerobics instructors, the lifeguards, and the program itself. And we're looking at a plan to work with the county to try and keep Hardy Pool in Cayucas and Chamel Pool in Cambria open beyond the current summer schedule. And in order for this to occur, it would cost about $2,000 to $8,000 a month per pool. So it would be rather expensive. But, you know, there is a possibility, and the county is very open to allowing us to raise the funds to have the pools available beyond summer. And since there are currently off-season users already using Hardy Pool, our cost could be less per month. So that is another opportunity that we're looking into. But our first priority with the county is to make sure we fundraise for summer 2010 to be sure that the pools will be open Memorial Day through Labor Day for Hardy Pool and Chamel Pool. And that would cover the cost of an instructor for aqua aerobics as well as lifeguard staff. If we're able to exceed our fundraising goals, we could potentially be opening the pools for longer periods to realize our foundation goal of providing year-round swimming community access, which is really what we're all about. So our news update number three, and you should have it in front of you too, is to address the needs of at Cuesta and the county. We have launched a new campaign called the SOS Campaign, Save Our Swimming for Community Access, because community matters. This fundraising and promotion campaign supports our commitment to preserve and enhance existing local aquatics programs, and we hope that anyone who is listening tonight will want to support us in this campaign with either their time or energy or getting the word out or volunteering and donating to this worthy cause. Our first lap campaign, which you have a brochure in front of you, which explains our whole campaign for raising money for a year-round community aquatic center. We believe that will be enhanced by the SOS campaign's high-profile work for the benefit of our swimming community. Both campaigns raise the awareness of the need to help preserve existing swim programs at our local pools and the need for a facility that has more accessibility for the general community beyond those enrolled in academic programs and classes. So to generate funding for both of these programs and these campaigns, we have joined some existing community programs with Albertsons and Spencer's Markets. We, like the Morro Bay Community Foundation, are a beneficiary of Albertsons Community Partners Program, so anyone who uses their preferred savings and puts us down, because you can put up as many as four recipient organizations for Albertsons. So we hope that people will do that and support this local effort because it is so important to our community. We also have the same program with Spencer's eScript community card. Same thing, go in, get a community card, and designate our foundation as a recipient organization, and your shopping dollars percentage will go to our organization. And these two programs are easy because it's no expense to anybody. You're already shopping there, so why not designate a worthy organization to receive these funds? We are also fortunate that a local realtor has chosen to support our foundation, Louise Dickinson, local realtor for Century 21 Hometown Realty in Los Osos is partnering with our foundation. If you buy or sell a property in Morro Bay, Los Osos, or Cayucas through Louise and mention the Morro Bay Community Pool Foundation, she has pledged to donate a portion of her agent fee to the foundation upon close of escrow. And she's already closed one escrow and given us a check of $300 towards the first lap campaign of a year-round community aquatic center. We're also developing a community pool consortium with Cuesta, the county, and other pool facilities in the area to find ways to share resources and support swimming accessibility and sustainability within our county. I mean, obviously, what's really important to us is Morro Bay residents have a place that they can count on and go to, and hopefully year-round. Research towards building a year-round community aquatic center continues for us as well. We are looking at using private property to do that. The power plant property, if anything ever gets resolved with that. City property on Quintana near South Bay Boulevard and State Park was mentioned by one of our city council members as a possibility. And the soccer field right over here next to the Morro Bay Community Center, which is also school district property. Our intention really is to narrow this list down to one or two feasible options for a community aquatic center through our own efforts or in partnership with others. Lastly, we are always very interested in recruiting more volunteers. For everyone here tonight and those watching distantly, please find out more about our volunteer opportunities and initiatives by going to morrobaypool.org or calling us at 772-9019 to leave a message of your interest. As you know, it only takes a handful to make a difference, but it makes a bigger difference if you have more people helping to make the job happen. So we hope that everyone will consider everything we've said tonight, check us out, and support our efforts on behalf of the residents of Morro Bay. Thank you, and if you have any questions, bless you. I'm available, as well as some of my board are here, to answer any questions. Is that okay? Okay. Oh, good. No questions. I can leave.
Go ahead. I have one about the properties. I think those are great selections. I'm just curious, how did you narrow them down, or what's the process look like for that?
Well, we have about 20 questions, seriously, that we have set up to ask, because it has to be certain variables that are involved as far as, you know, water, parking, location, cost, accessibility, and so forth. So once we know who the person is that we can talk to, then we would have these list of questions to ask them, and we may get done at the end of four questions. For example, we were considering some possible properties in Cambria because that's the North Coast, but when we really put everything down, it became very realistic that that wouldn't serve Los Osos, Morro Bay, Cayucas residents very well to have the pool located in Cambria. So those are the kinds of things. We look at every possibility and ask those questions. Did that answer that question?
Yeah, it did. I want to say, too, I love how I keep hearing community, community, community in your presentation. That's
Thank you.
Really appealing.
Thank you.
I have a quick question. Complicated question, I think. Simple but complicated. How do we as a commission reconcile each organization's goals? I mean, is there a way? It seems... I'm trying to choose my words carefully, but it seems, unfortunately, it's such a shame we're a small community and we have three organizations who are... Pretty much the final goals are fairly close, and I think we all are hoping to accomplish the same goals. Is there a way to reconcile these three organizations so that we don't spread out the funds? There's a higher likelihood of success if we can work as a team. I'm just really concerned, how do we as a commission decide to support one group versus another? What's our responsibility in this? How do we reconcile that issue?
I would be happy to respond to you, Commissioner Mahan. Good evening. I think that right now the commission has showed support for a feasibility study, and that was the direction that staff has kind of been focused on. As the three entities, stakeholders, if you will, came to a meeting, it's the city, the county, as well as the district, and we met with the Morro Bay Community Pool Foundation, and out of that meeting came two things. Hopefully a generally outlined MOU, so the four entities can work together in a common goal and direction. And the second was a feasibility study, and that no entity was going to move forward until a feasibility study was completed. And the cost of that feasibility study and efforts to get that completed would be the burden or the responsibility, if you will, of the Morro Bay Community Pool Foundation. And that's how the entities left this at the table. I'm going to follow up. I don't know where the MOU is now. There was some rumor that it had been completed and there was a little bit of changes, but it's very loose and very general. So right now, we've come back to you. The groups, yes, they have split. I still believe that there's a common goal of an aquatic center somewhere in Sterile Bay. Mm. What it looks like, I don't know. But you're supporting the feasibility study. And we can get into a lot of different things, but I think that has for volunteers to get together and to keep it going. So hopefully this efforts will sustain the overall efforts of everybody in keeping the project moving. So I don't think you need to take sides with one group or another. I think that there's support on the feasibility study as it goes forward to council later part of this month. I would be asking for the commission to send a commissioner with that report to show your support. Your recommendation was to allocate $15,000 park and lieu funds for the feasibility study, and I think a commissioner should be appointed tonight to follow that up with the council and at least give some public comment regarding that item. Does that answer your question, Commissioner Mahan?
Right.
I didn't mean to be lengthy, but you're right.
It's a simple
concept, but it gets complicated,
right,
I don't want to discard anybody's efforts. And that's why I'm trying to not hide behind the feasibility study, but that's the effort in which the groups have agreed to go.
Right.
Now, the Community Pool Foundation has done more, obviously, but they're not doing this feasibility study. And so the feasibility study still needs to happen, and so we're trying to support that via the pool at Morro Bay.
Right. We're supporting the one group that is sort of spearheading the organization of the feasibility study. But on the other hand, we're happy to support. It sounds like this group is more focused in the present moment on doing the fundraising for all the existing programs and just developing what we already have in place. Is that a fair?
Not quite. I think we are concentrating on both. We are not only looking at now, we're looking in the future, because our focus is community swimming pool. And so I think what our letter was trying to say to Joe and what you were copied on was the city is in a perfect opportunity to ask the right questions. And as long as you ask the right questions from the feasibility study as far as what the community needs and wants for their community aquatic center, then that's great. And we are totally supportive of that because we know that the city, the county, and the school district require a feasibility study. So you need to have that done. But ask the right questions so that you don't come back going, well, wait a minute, what about this or what about that?
I guess what I was trying to understand is as far as fundraising efforts so that people know, okay, when I'm donating money to this organization or to this one, where's my money going to? What am I promoting? It seems that in this case, with your organization, we'll be promoting more trying to maintain what we have in place. That's the number one priority at this point, so that the Quest programs don't close down. I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense to promote what we have now rather than focus on building another pool if we can't even keep up what we currently have in place.
Right. We have two campaigns.
Okay.
Our SOS campaign definitely is looking at Cuesta College and our county pools located on the North Coast, which would be Hardy and Chamel. And also our First Lap campaign, which is a community aquatic center. So whatever anyone's interest is in where they would like the money to go, they can designate that, and we have special spots with within our budget to handle that. But very good questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
A question as well. So there's some recommendations again to try to consider additional scope in terms of questions as part of the feasibility study. Is that getting taken up with the City Council? Obviously, we recommended let's get behind a feasibility study. We made that recommendation. But in terms of, again, the question set, which looks like it's of interest to your organization, like let's broaden that question set out to not just hone necessarily in and focus on the school as the assumptive location for the pool, and instead ask some broader questions. How does that get represented? Is that getting communicated to City Council? I mean, we didn't go into any detail because we didn't have the presentation about any stipulations about let's support the funding for this. We left it kind of we support the funding of this, but without any other caveats. I'm just curious if some of those questions are getting addressed to the City Council at this point.
Yes, they will. Thank you, Commissioner Chair Hale. The structure of this feasibility study obviously is going to be looked at in draft form by the district, the county, and the city. We have, and you have in your packet today in correspondence under A2, letter from the foundation. And in the end here, proposed action for the feasibility study. And they give us quite a few topics of concern and questions and areas that we need to probe into. And this is something that we don't take lightly. We will bring this and a lot of our other concerns to the table when we discuss the final draft for the feasibility study. Right now, there's been an RFP that was out, and they have four or five. And the primary reason why the groups have split is because of location and access. And I think that we're willing to accept a study to digest the findings as opposed to come in with anything preconceived. So I'm hoping that our push to keep the feasibility study on the table, because we kind of years ago back in 2002 had definitely set aside some money, had lost that and didn't utilize it in a feasibility study. We have opportunity again. I think we need to take advantage of
it.
And at least get through that. I know this group here has done some, I mean, to have them come in, and I thank Karen Roberts for coming in and giving us this information, because it's like, okay, yeah, they are doing things out there. They are raising money. They do have an awareness of what's out there now, and they do have a concept of what, hopefully, the vision of this aquatic center is in the future. So hopefully that answers your question regarding the criteria, and are we taking it seriously? Yes. Are we taking the exact criteria for this feasibility study to the council? No. We are bringing your recommendation to expend $15,000 in the park and lieu funds for the feasibility study, not the criteria or the information that's going into the feasibility study. That'll be done outside of council.
Okay. Thank you very much, and thanks to your organization for doing some great work.
Thank you,
and all the pool organizations.
Thank you too for all of your support and for Joe Woods, because I think it's wonderful that you're recognizing the importance of grassroots efforts in our communities and supporting that. Thank you.
Definitely.
All right. Turning to public comment period, this is an opportunity for members of the audience wishing to address the commission on any other matter than public hearing. You're limited to 3 minutes, and if anybody from the audience would like to come up to the podium and speak, please feel free to do so now. If you can state your name and where you live.
Good evening, Madam Chair, members of the Commission. My name is Marlis McPherson, and I am the current chair of the Morro Bay Winter Bird Festival. And my understanding is that you're going to be talking tonight about criteria for city sponsorship of events such as ours, and so I just wanted to once again come and represent ourselves. I know that Norma Whiteman was here last month and spoke to you about the economic benefit that the Bird Festival provides, but I just wanted to give you a little bit more information and tell you that registration opened today, and before I left there were 69 people who had already registered. We're improving our marketing. We have gone green, and instead of the 16-page brochure that she handed out to you, which was last year's festival, this is this year's festival. I brought copies for all of you so you can see what we're doing this year. It's a one-pager. We redid our website. We've added new programs, and I think this one is really special to me. We are trying to encourage more families to attend the festival, and we have added 2 13-year-old bird leaders. Oh. So yeah, that should be really fun, and hopefully it will encourage some of the children to participate. So we're really trying to increase attendance over last year, and it's really a critical year for the festival because, you know, of the recession, and a lot of people aren't traveling, and we lost a little money last year, so we really rely on city sponsorship. It's important to us. We are mostly volunteers. There's 150 people from the community that give their time. All of the field trip leaders are volunteers. All of the workshop presenters, all of the people manning the festival are volunteers. So there's a few part-time paid employees. But otherwise, it's there's a lot of community support behind the Bird Festival. And I know Norma told you that we bring money to Morro Bay, and we do. We estimate about $160,000 last year came to Morro Bay on that winter weekend. The last thing I wanted to mention was that we have a Bird Festival board member who was one of the original people 14 years ago when they started it, and he said that it was actually the city's idea, that the city came to the Museum of Natural History and said, what could we do in the middle of winter to get some tourists to Morro Bay? And that was how the city sponsorship got started. So I just hope you will continue to support us. We really appreciate it, and thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Commission. My name is Jenny Brantley, and I'm here on behalf of the Morro Bay Business Forum, who delightfully voted an idea I had as the number one short-term idea for the business forum to bring to Morro Bay as part of their mission, which is to promote tourism in the city of Morro Bay. And what this idea is a sign. And why I'm here in front of you today is the sign would be planted on Parks and Recreation Department property. And the proposed sign, that's what I was told, come to Parks and Rec and Parks to talk about the vision for some suggestions of where the funds for the proposed sign, proposed $5,000 price tag for this sign is what I have a bid for from Classic Signs. Tom Templeton made this design that would include the installation and everything. And there's a whole campaign around this concept of Morro Bay being halfway between San Francisco and L.A. There's a lot of people in the community that are excited about this project, and that's why I'm here. They've pushed me to the lectern today to say, where's that project stand right now? Let's get it going. Maybe we'd paint the two sides of the sidewalk. I don't know, one side, one color, the other side, the other color. And that's why I'm here, to ask for your approval of that sign, and I have little sample mock-ups for you to check out. So, thank you.
Thank you.
That's me.
Thank you. Anyone else from the public wish to speak this evening? Please come up to the podium. Seeing that we have no more speakers, we'll close public comment period. And we'll turn to item A, consent calendar. If anyone wants to pull an item out of the consent calendar, please. Okay, doesn't look like that. So if not, I'd like to entertain a motion to accept A1 through A4.
I move to accept A1 through A4.
I'll second.
For file.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Nay. Okay. Item B, public hearings. We have, I think I'm going to turn it over to you, Mr. Woods.
Definitely. Thank you. Good evening, Chair Hale and Commission. The first item for public hearing, and the only item, is a hearing on public art. It's a proposal that was brought forward by the Morro Bay Friends of the Library. And I'll give you a little bit of history. I don't think the commission has ever done a public art proposal before, so I'll give you a little bit of, I try to give that in your staff report. Basically, we do have a public art policy, and anybody requesting to put in any public art on public property would need to start at the city manager's office. There is criteria on the policy. The policy can be found on our document center at our Morro Bay City website, or you can pick one up at the Recreation and Parks Department. I wanted to let people know that in case, just so they were familiar with the process. After the application has been deemed complete, because there are, I think, four or five, maybe even six criteria that a group needs to meet in order to submit for public art. Actually, there's five. And after the review, the city manager has already reviewed this particular art project and has requested the RPC review this proposal and then bring back recommendations to the city council with their findings. So without belaboring the procedures, the public art itself is that the Friends of the Library are requesting the approval and acceptance of a peace pole to be located at the Morro Bay Library. And it serves for several purposes, and you'll see that in your staff report. But basically, there's history of the peace pole, and I'm hoping that you've gone through that. The peace pole itself is something that the Friends have identified as something that would be most appropriate for what they're trying to do as far as honoring an individual. So they've got a pretty good idea. They worked up different scenarios. They have brought some information to staff. We have met, and they discussed the types of poles, the material, the size, the location, and so forth. And we had a really positive conversation, and we went through a lot of different scenarios, and I think we came up with some really solid findings, and that's what's presented to you now, is that that the Friends would buy a pole, the Friends would pay for all the installation, there would be no city costs at all. So financial impact, you'll see there's no financial impact other than, you know, staff coordinating with the Friends and getting things together that way. And that's something that we do often. We just did, you know, extensive time with the mural, and that project went wonderfully. So I think there'll be nothing but good things that come out of this. It's an aluminum pole, which will be maintenance-free. It's got multiple languages regarding the policies and procedures of public art. Or any questions about the art itself, I'd be happy to answer.
I'm just curious about the bronze plaque. You said that I think I read there would be a name on it. I'm just curious who or what would be on the plaque.
You know, in public hearings, there is a chance for the public to come out. I think we have a representative from the Friends that are here, and maybe they can address that. I don't mean to be evasive, but I think that there is some strategy here and some confidentiality, and hopefully they can enlighten us. Okay? There may be a time, this might not be the appropriate venue to bring that out, but I think later on I think you'd be satisfied that it's something that's very, very appropriate.
Okay, thank you. My curiosity killed the cat.
So we're opening up for discussion, right? Are we having a present just for discussion among our group? No other presentations. Pardon?
You open up to the public. You have
okay. Yeah. Are there questions for Mr. Woods at this time? Okay. Then we'll open up for comment.
I'm Karen Robert. I'm also the president of the Morro Bay Friends of the Library, and thank you again for considering this.
Good question. Wish we could answer it. But at this point, I think Joe's right. Really, the idea is the public art policy completely. One thing we did want to mention is that in order for us to get an aluminum piece pole, it has to be at least 8 feet. And I think in the proposal we had put 6 feet. So I just wanted to make sure that that was understood. And if that needed to be part of a motion of approval, we would appreciate you including that. But we really do believe that this is a wonderful honor for our community to have this as a destination, and hope that you will also support it, even though you don't know who we're doing it in honor of.
Well, I have one question. Is there an art? I know there's an etching piece here. There's obviously hardware, aluminum. Is there an artist that's doing the etching? I mean, is there? It's obviously public art, but is there really any artist behind it?
The original artist has made it available, and it's through peacepoleprojects.com, I think.
So they basically send it installed already with the etching done.
Right.
You indicate the countries that you want to have represented
exactly.
On the pole, and then it gets sent mailed.
Right. We have a minimum of 4 languages. We'd like to have at least 8. That's been the request at this point. So that's what we're looking at. But one would be English. May peace prevail on earth.
Karen, do you know what other languages? Have you decided what languages to put on the pole?
No, we haven't. We're taking suggestions and recommendations.
Well, French would be great.
We want you to approve this first, and then we know it will have to go to City Council. And once City Council approves it, then we can finalize all the other details with it. But, yes, definitely we are taking interest in languages. I think there, our treasurer, Rick Deschler, also wanted to say a few words, too.
Good evening, Commission. My name is Rick Deschler, Morro Bay. I'm the treasurer for the Friends of the Library. On the 8-foot height of the pole, that's before it's placed in the ground, talking with the person at the company, 12 to 24 inches of the pole could be placed, could be buried, and that would still accommodate 8 languages on the 4 sides. But the various details will be able to be worked out. The main thing is that this is a piece of public art, so the art aspect of it is very simple. Also, one of the suggestions that is probably going to be accepted is, or that has been looked at for one of the languages, is the Chumash language, and that's available. They have a large list that's available, and that's one of them. So that's probably going to be a positive in addition to English and probably Spanish and who knows, an Asian language or French or German. last week the Morro Bay Friends of the Library unanimously supported the this project. So I just wanted to let you know that. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay.
Peace poles have become increasingly popular in our nation and other nations around the world. And then I want to paraphrase and say that there are no objections or concerns with this particular proposal as far as a peace pole. So that's that was from Neil Farrell, President, Morro Bay Public Art Foundation.
Okay, let's open it up for discussion.
I think it's a wonderful idea. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, I agree. There's one over by Del Mar School, too, but I think that was a private thing with the United Methodist Church over there. But, yeah, I love the idea, concept.
Great. Okay. I endorse as well, and so I think we would then look for a motion to make a recommendation to the City Council of our endorsement. So can I entertain a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the or to recommend that staff pursue the acceptance of the installation of the peace pole on the, is it on Parks and Rec's property?
Yes.
It is.
Well, city property.
City property. At the Morro Bay Library.
A second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Thank you. Moving on to C, unfinished business. C1, continued discussion and recommendation for the city co-sponsorship programs for special events.
Good evening, Chair Hale and Commission again. C1 it is, a continued conversation of our joint, actually it's a co-sponsorship program for special events. You heard this item at our previous meeting. Let you know that we are recommending that you discuss this item and forward a recommendation to City Council regarding policies and procedures for future co-sponsored events, as well as the continuation of the existing co-sponsored events. Financial impact in dealing with co-sponsorships varies from case to case. Details of these differences were outlined in your staff report that went to Council, and that's included in your packet. That was the August 10th meeting. To summarize this, the co-sponsorships we have now are just the two, which is the Bird Festival you heard about earlier in public comment, as well as the Teach Foundation. And that's a group that raises monies through a telethon. And those monies, from what I understand, are allocated throughout the school year for various teachers for their use in their classroom. And so, what I'm understanding, it does affect teachers in our district, in our town, and I think that was part of the premise in which we were supporting it in its inception. The City Council obviously has struggled with this item. They've asked you to review this. Through our lengthy discussion of the previous meeting, you know that it's not an easy topic to get everything included on, because there are a lot of moving parts when it comes to co-sponsorships, special events. So on September the 3rd, you did review this. There was a consensus that the commission did want to continue with co-sponsorships. Commissioner Mahan did make a motion, and she outlined three criteria that she'd like to see us move forward in as we get into co-sponsorships. How do we decide who is worthy of co-sponsorship and who's not? And I think the criteria certainly gives us a step in the right direction. I was asked to bring back some draft version that would incorporate that. Staff has included that in your staff report. I'd labeled it request consideration for city co-sponsorship. And basically, we're asking the applicant of either a public air use permit or a facility use application if they're interested in a co-sponsorship, very similar to what if they're interested in insurance policy. They can buy that through us as well. So if you were looking to do that, there's a special form for you to fill out, and hence the co-sponsorship, again, a special form for you to fill out. This would incorporate some of the criteria that Commissioner Mahan had outlined, as well as additional criteria in which staff felt that might be pertinent, at least not on the application, but worthy of discussion at this meeting. So we were asking you to do just that. You're in favor of co-sponsorships. What are the guidelines for us to continue? With that, I'll turn it back to the commission in hopes that we would have some opportunities to go through this draft, eliminate some things, add some things, tighten it up, eliminate it completely. My feelings won't be hurt, but I want to make sure that I'm doing the right thing by the commission and we get something of substance that goes to the council. So with that, I will turn it back to the commission to continue the discussion.
Thank you. One question. Did you indicate that the City Council had made some additional criteria recommendations? Did I hear that correctly?
No, not additional. Staff put in additional criteria.
Staff put in additional criteria, just on the form. Thank you.
We had three from the from Judy, and then we added some more. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So let's. I'm assuming everybody's had a chance to take a look at the form and critique it. I mean, I think there's clearly a need for an application process, so I don't think we dispute having a way to do it. An aside, though, before we get into it, I would say is, I mean, are we? I'm assuming we're starting with the new website to have web forms, so we don't have to be floating paper around. And this could be a web form somebody goes and fills out on the website.
Absolutely.
Great. So this is, we're just seeing the print copy. Awesome. Okay. We'll open up for discussion. What thoughts on the question set here?
I like it. It covers everything. You know, there's no rock left unturned. I think it's good.
It sounds like if an applicant was to fill out the form, we'd automatically get all the answers to our questions as to whether or not they fit into one of our criteria, so which is, you know, that's the whole point of it, so it works.
Yeah, I'm glad that you made those recommendations because I think they were needed, so that was good. I put that in there.
Other thoughts on the form itself? The only one I had was just a little bit on the order, and it's not significant. I mean, I think we should get their email address because we don't probably be emailing people back and forth, not calling them. But I thought that the question about will the event be offered for more than one day in attendance and who's the target audience seemed like pretty important information that maybe we move that stuff up.
Yeah.
Because concession and, you know, catering and stuff is sort of minor detail, but really we want to help whoever's going to review it really get the thrust of what the organization is looking to do and the who, what, where, when, hows, and then get the detail as sort of part two.
I agree.
Along those same lines, the advertising, you know, outside of the city, outside of the county, outside of the state was one of our issues, so I'd like to see that bumped up higher into the form as well, just to make sure that's not missed.
And maybe we say how will the advertising, I mean, that may be too much, too broad of a question before they plan to submit this, but it does give us an idea if they've thought through it, because it's easy to say, oh, yeah, I'm going to do advertising. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, when you say how are you planning to do it, we assume they are going to do it. To be successful, you have to advertise. So, or at least I would make that assumption. So maybe we say how, and then we get an idea of, you know, how seriously they've thought about things that are going to be important for us as one of the criteria.
So maybe a question about what media they would be using?
You could just say, how do you plan to advertise the event?
Okay.
And, you know, I think that could unfold. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Yeah.
Okay. So any other feedback on the form itself?
Can I back you up for a moment,
sure,
please, Chair Hale? Are you saying to take these two and not add to them, but eliminate will and put how?
Yeah, don't make it a yes no. Make it a let them write a sentence in there. We're assuming they're going to advertise.
Okay.
So we
within the county
say,
and outside
how
of the
will
state.
They do it?
And so how will you do it outside of the county? How will you do it outside of the state? If they weren't, they would just say we're not going to.
For outside the state, I would add a are you going to? Yes no. If so,
yeah,
there should be
sense.
A how box that pops up.
Okay. No problem. Thank you.
Okay. All right. I think we've nailed that down then. I think we're happy with the question set. Mm-hmm. Just some reordering, a couple word changes, and get it on the web so that people can just submit it that way. And then it sounds like part two is we need to make some recommendations around the process that we think makes sense in terms of who the stakeholders should be to ultimately make the decision and maybe what that process flow might look like. Does that sound right?
Yes, thank you, Chair Hale. It does sound right. Now, if I fill all this form out and I come and I turn it in, and at the bottom of the form, I added a city review, and that is something I just threw everything against the wall. So I'm hoping that you can weed through that section of this particular questionnaire on the bottom of page four, I think it is. Possible checklist if required. So that's kind of like we could add a few things to checklist. But who does the review and or who does the approval? And I think that if you're saying that we want right now, I think...
My initial thought is that the recommendations are pretty black and white. I don't think there's too much room for subjectivity, so I don't think we'd be putting too much responsibility on the decision maker if we said, let's just go through one you know, I'm always for simplifying the processes, right, rather than going through a 2-3-step approval process. If we can just do it through one, all the better. Joe, if we limit it to the department head, is that too stressful of a responsibility? Is that too much pressure, or is it better to take into consideration maybe having at least two separate entities or groups look at the forms?
Turn this on. Thanks, Commissioner Mahan. I don't think it would be too much stress. The decision in making this wouldn't be tough at all, given all the criteria was laid out in front of you. I don't necessarily think that the authority should be placed on just one person, and though I wouldn't mind either way, but I think that you're looking at, you know, making the decision of does the Bird Festival get co-sponsorship or not. I think that's should be bigger than one person. There's other things to consider, other departments, and how it involves with the city. So I think that right now you have a city manager who's involved, and I wouldn't be opposed to having that placed in an approval as well. Now, going to advisory boards and back to council, then that gets a little bit complicated, mm-hmm. but I think it's at least get it to the city manager's level for an approval might be something you would consider.
Yeah, I just think we should avoid having to enforce presentation to a group that only meets once a month, where it just creates a lot of it's very inefficient time-wise. If the organization needs to know whether or not they can do it, they don't want to waste a month waiting on approvals.
Mm-hmm. So I'm hearing one idea about bypassing the potentially our commission as well as the city council in terms of having these routed through us and instead focus strictly on the department head and the city manager, maybe for the final stamp of approval. That's what I'm hearing.
And maybe in a situation where both do not agree, then it would come to council. And we would be the third vote as to yay or nay. If for some reason there's a disagreement between the department head and the city manager, if you're both giving the green light, then it doesn't have to come back to anyone. But if there's a green light and a red light, then maybe it comes back to council.
You said council, and then you said us. And us is RPC, so you confused me.
Sorry, so. I meant to council, city okay. council. Sorry.
Well, this will be after your discussion, it will be a recommendation that it goes through, and then they're going to review what you've recommended, and they're going to say, hey, we really don't want to deal with this, or they do, you know, so... Go ahead.
Well, we should be this RPC.
I think we should deal with it ourselves, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. maybe even leave the manager out and just have it as one of our agenda items. Joe brings it to the agenda, and we yay or nay it, and then we're done. Is that too simple, or...?
I mean, I do... I think if it's a big event, I wonder... I mean, I guess all we're really talking about isn't the hosting of the event, but... you assume that, I guess it's a question of whether we need a formal stamp of approval by a department head. We probably, you know, whether that formality mm-hmm. is a big deal. If it's not a big deal, let's keep it in. If it is a big deal, and it's, I mean, I think the iterations we're concerned with is, again, the city council meeting and the RPC meeting and the potential 2-3 month windows of getting things through us. We're primarily more of the impact on that quick turnaround, whereas clearly you're all sitting in the same office and can pretty much knock it down pretty quickly, I imagine.
Well, I think both. I didn't mean to leave the department head out. Did I do that?
I think what you're saying is if you're saying if when a proposal comes in and I have one of these forms that we, you know, cleaned up and tightened up,
yeah,
and
we just
and now it's an agenda item. Now I don't want to take any major power away, but the RPC is an advisory board, so you would be recommending and advising the direction for staff. So if you're saying that, hey, we really want you to do this, and I really don't want to, then we probably want to go up to council.
Yeah.
But if you're saying, hey, you really should be co-sponsoring this, and I totally agree, then we move into the co-sponsorship.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't be an approval. It would be a strong recommendation from the RPC to staff to either complete that or forward it to And you'll see by my recommendations on my staff report, if I say, hey, this is my staff report and this is the proposal that's coming to you for co-sponsorship, I agree or don't agree with. And you'll have my opinion in that staff report.
I guess one question is, are we at a place where we're going to have opinion? I mean, I think the intent was to make it, and I'm just going to... Thoughts, Commissioner?
I would say I don't mind the idea of it coming back to the commission, to us. I don't think that we have... I think we can find time in the agenda for how few of these are going to come up, and I'd like to make sure that the six of us representing the diversity of Morro Bay get a chance to say whether or not we really think this is something important that we want to make sure that we're supporting, even if staff aren't necessarily certain. Then if we end up in great conflict, that can go up to City Council. But I don't think it's a bad idea to have, you know, our broad interests to make sure that those are represented in that approval process. And now I agree, we did set down some really basic structured criteria, but there's always the possibility that... I think in addition to, is it a multi-day event and does it, you know, do X or Y, there's always going to be the content of what is the event. And that will always be, that is more likely to be at issue than whether or not something is a multi-day event. So if I know all I have to do to get it approved is make it a multi-day event and I have some horrific content that I want to have city approval for, I mean, content will always be at issue in addition to whatever criteria we specify.
Are there? I mean, there already are some safeguards in place regarding content, right? I mean, there are some, you know, city ordinances, and so there's already some a big safety net there, I think, as far as content is concerned. But
content will always be, that is a subjective piece. Mm. I mean, there's always subjectivity there. So I'd like to see it brought to a larger body than just, you know, a department head or a city manager, even those two. I'd like to see the broad. Thoughts of the commission who represent the city of Morro Bay to speak to that. And I don't think it will take more than a few minutes on an agenda once a year or so. So I don't think it's an undue burden for us to take on that task.
Yeah. No, I wasn't concerned about the burden on us. I was more concerned about the speeding
up the
process
for the
organizers or the, yeah.
So one approach could be, I'm hearing, and we're not stuck with anything. That's the nice thing, right? I mean, we could potentially try and say, okay, maybe the initial recommendation could be something where the initial recommendation is it's initially reviewed by the department head, brought to Rec and Parks Commission for endorsement or review, and then goes back for the rubber stamp. We can always decide later if, I mean, we're not going to probably have a great opportunity to practice this, but because of the volume, but maybe there will be more interest now, and maybe after that we could decide, you know, we really don't need to be a part of this. The criteria is so well laid out, we don't need to slow the process down for the applicant, or we may say, you know what, actually that discussion was really worthwhile, and it also gives the public an opportunity to hear about what the organization is looking to do. So that could be an approach we take. Anybody want to put some thoughts together into a motion?
May I, before you make a motion, Chair Hale, I wanted to add one thing that through your discussion it came to mind. Now it's left my mind.
Understand that.
I'm going to have to send it back to you, and I'll try to think what I had in mind.
Okay.
It was important, I promise.
Okay.
So, a motion?
Okay, I think we just stalled well enough.
Thanks
here
for the stall, and Trishek,
Mr.
Wood's
chance to get that back.
Yes. My
up
thought was what you hadn't talked about was review. And we had talked sometimes about maybe doing now you've got a co-sponsored program, and you're going to make a motion and with some criteria, but it should include a review or a no review. I mean, how long is this co-sponsorship good for? Is it good for a year? Mm. Are you going to renew it next? Do you want to see it again in 12 months? Do you want to see it? I mean, do you want to approve it each year, or do you want to approve it as long as it doesn't change? You see what I mean? So here's the Bird Festival. We approved it, 12 years ago. They're still doing the same program, same venues, nothing's changed in the scope. Did you need to review that? Or does the criteria say if there's an ongoing co-sponsorship, if there's a, you got to submit it every year? Or only if there's been major changes? You follow me? Mm-hmm. So a little bit more housekeeping down the line. If you really want to be hands-free and make it easy for them, let's set procedures for review up as well. Thanks for your patience for letting me bring that up.
Yeah, that's a good point. It was worth the wait. So do we have some thoughts? I think that brings up a good point. How do we, you know, what do we want to put on the organizations for review? It does feel like having an open-ended forever without evaluation doesn't feel quite, you know, feels like it makes sense to consider.
That could be something that's there that, you know, if there's any substantial change to the content or the venues or, you know, the purpose of the event, then you'd like to revisit it. But that would be my take on it.
Great, thank you. No, it's a good input. I mean, one along those lines, it could be that, you know, staff has the discretion to bring back, I mean, work that mm-hmm. out on your own terms around review of those and bring those back if you want and feel like it needs to be up for review. It comes as one of our agenda items and we talk about it. What about that?
I see you looking over, and I would say this, that each co-sponsored program, they do and are required to submit a new application for use for each event. So they just don't have one permit that lasts forever. They have a permit that lasted for 2009, and now they're going to resubmit for 2010.
But that's for a permit, not for co-sponsorship.
Right. And with that permit, they do outline the scope of the program, and if staff saw some major deviation, then we would say, well, this is different than what you've done last year. Or, and we'll bring it to the RPC. Or is it you want to continue your co-sponsorship, give us a small statement that says our program remains the same and we want to continue our co-sponsorship. And that could be in your consent item and it could pass just like a motion. So then you'd have them on record saying we haven't changed and we're still interested, and you're still saying that we still support it. Maybe not the complete form every year unless things have changed, but at least a recognition, an acknowledgement that they're desiring the co-sponsorship to continue, and we are as well. So I'm just meeting of those.
Maybe we could just add a little box in the permit application. Has the event changed in any substantial form, yes or no?
We could certainly get there, but if that's appealing to the commission, then that would be, I would hope, part of tonight's discussion in motion.
Okay. I see a motion over there being formed. No? Okay. All right. So do we have a motion? Does anyone want to put forth a motion on our recommendation around the two items we just talked about, the review process, as well as the ongoing approval?
Well, do we agree on the process that it should be reviewed by department head and city manager? No, just department head?
And us.
And then right, mm-hmm. And then that was the next part, mm-hmm. Then come to RPC.
So review, am I hearing review by department head, input by, a recommendation by Park and Recs, and then final approval by department head. Is that right? Did I say department head? I mean, not department head, by city manager.
No. I thought we were axing out city manager.
Yeah, we're just trying to keep it within Parks or Recs and Park. We're just trying to keep it within our department and not add to the city manager's paperwork.
Okay, so that seems agreeable to everyone. I guess we don't have to agree. We're going to vote. Okay, and then part two.
Part two is if there's we'll add a box to the permit form asking the participant whether or not there's been any substantial change in the event. If yes, they would have to go through the process again, the approval process for co-sponsorship. If not, then they automatically keep their sponsorship, co-sponsorship.
Okay, so let's hear a motion.
May I interrupt for a moment? If you wanted to break down your motion to a little bit more palatable two or even three motions, we find staff, if you could work on this criteria and give me some direction on this. And that could include, you know, we'd like you to continue working on this application, bring some of the questions more to the front that we talked about to the top and reorganize them so your priorities are set in the beginning of this questionnaire. And then how it's going to be reviewed, that would be fine. I mean, something that if you want to break it down like that, that might be a little easier. As far as the direction, details on how we get there, I think we would be able to get there. If your review says, you know, review it, any major changes, then a new process should be submitted. How we get there would be a question. You know, it could be in various ways,
okay.
Not just a box. So, I mean, try not to limit staff, but at least give us some direction that we can work with. Hopefully that helps you with your motions.
There's two options.
Okay, so let's make a motion. I would like to propose the motion that we recommend to staff to keep working with the form that they've submitted.
Questions?
Just a formality. The second would include the amended motion. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm looking at Commissioner Crowley. Was you, Commissioner O'Toole? Second to that? Okay. So when you want to second that, and there's been some changes, you're seconding the amended motion, and then did I understand it carried 4-0?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So can I entertain a motion on the last item about the renewal or re-request process?
And a motion to recommend that staff add some provision in the permit application form that allows for automatic renewal of the co-sponsorship if the key aspects and content of the event have not changed. If they have, then the participant would have to reapply for a co-sponsorship application. Reapply for co-sponsorship, period.
Is there discussion? Do I want to get discussion yet?
I think you get a second, then you get discussion.
Okay.
Seconded.
Okay. Any discussion? Just a question on, do we want them to reapply for the information? Because, I mean, if the information is otherwise the same, or are we saying that the staff should come back with clarifying the things that have changed? I mean, maybe that's a detail.
Well, if things have changed, they would have to reapply, and then we'd go back through the process of department head, RPC.
So start over for them. Okay. So any other discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Okay, new business, D1, Recreation and Park Department program evaluations.
Oh, may I?
I think we forgot this part.
I wanted to, can I back you back up to C1?
Mm-hmm.
With the co-sponsorship. Part of my recommendation, and maybe we won't extend too much longer on the topic, but also there's a Commission have a recommendation on the existing co-sponsored programs. Remember, we want to know if we're going to continue existing co-sponsorships. Are you saying that the existing ones need to apply to meet the criteria, or are the existing ones exempt from that and we're going to continue renewing them? Or are they in for this next year, and then after their event they're in for review?
I'd like to make a motion that the two current co-sponsored programs, if there have been no substantial changes in those programs, continue in their co-sponsorship for this year.
So you're a second?
I second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None.
Thank you.
Anything else on C? Okay. Give Mr. Woods a chance to wrap up the notes there, and we'll move on to new business, American Park Department program evaluations.
Thank you, Chair Hale and Commission. Tonight's meeting, I've brought staff has prepared two program evaluations for your review and hopefully accept for file. The first is the 2009 Labor Day Classic Softball Tournament. I can't tell you how many years we've been doing this because I don't have that readily available in mind, but I tell you we've been doing this for quite some time. A very successful softball program tournament. We had 24 teams in attendance. One was from the Central Coast. 23 of them were from the Central Valley. The Lions Club traditionally and annually man and operate the snack bar, and they did so on this tournament. There was one incident that we reported. It was a noise complaint that was resolved prior to the police arriving on the scene. We do have staff there, and we try to address certain issues at the staff level without involving the police, but they were contacted, and the situation was resolved very quickly. There was also some incidents after hours in some local hotels, and there are some things that the police department has had to deal with. We have had reports from the police department in the past. Last year's tournament was a little bit more rowdier, not on our site, but generally after 10 o'clock on a Saturday, things get a little bit animated around town, and there are softball teams involved in those. So last year, after consulting with the police commander, all the other support that we give them, it's $2,250 per team. That expense comes out to $540. The lighting surcharge, remember we have every team that plays, regardless of who they are, kicks into the lighting fund so we can repair stuff. And we just did about, I want to say, $2,000 or $3,000 worth of repairs over there on some lights at the Westfield. So it's definitely a worthy cause. We've generated some revenues. So all the T-shirts made $6,000. Oh, registration was $6,000, and all the T-shirts was $500. The revenues, $6,500 for the program. Net revenues, $375. Cost recovery, 106%. This is an enterprise program. Target rate was 100%. We exceeded those. Very happy with staff's effort. A lot of accolades from members of the community and the public saying that the tournament was very well run, very efficient, and they had a great time. So those kind of reviews keeps these 24 teams in the waiting list coming back for more. So we're very excited about that. Some of the program evaluation, program recommendations are listed at the end of your report. One of them in the very end was to continue to work with the Chamber of Commerce with our package deals, and that's been very successful without having any information or any feedback. So when the feedback comes in, I'll let you know how successful it was. But we're hoping that with Peter Candela's efforts and his staff at the Chamber, we can get a little bit of a litmus test from the folks that are out there participating and saying, yes, they want to participate again next year in the program or not, and that'll be the big tell. But how many guests that they had come in under the package deal regarding the softball tournaments will be very interesting information, not only for the Labor Day. Remember, we had 13 tournaments throughout the year. We have already booked up all the tournaments for next year. We are in, I think, at least 12, if not 13, for next year already slated. So we are setting up the package deals again with the Chamber, and we're hoping for another big success. So that concludes my report on the Labor Day Classic. Be happy to answer any questions at this time.
Questions? Okay.
Wonderful. And you can probably accept both these. I'll give you this next one, which is the program evaluation for the Kids Club 2008-2009. And this one is a big one because you have revenues of $156,000. You've got a cost recovery of $106,000. On her direct costs, and then her net gain is a little over $8,000. Realize that we have indirect and direct costs. The program itself is a merit service, so it's targeted to get to return 70 to 79% of the money spent. So our cost recovery is just that, 70 to 79%, excluding our indirect costs. However, we do want to show you the full. Because of this is a merit, we don't show those indirect costs in our revenues where we would show them in an enterprise program. So staff has outlined to you the indirect costs, which is $33,306. The cost allocation is based on 50 kids on a licensed daycare, and we come out to about $17.08 in indirect costs per child. Very, very difficult to estimate that number. I'll let you know it is not science. Because we've got three different components. We've got a before school, we've got a kinder care program, and we've got an after school program. Every one of them warrants different amounts of time and so forth, and that's what that cost out at the indirect cost is based on. So given that $17.08 per child, you're looking at 50 kids for 39 weeks, you come out to a total cost of $182,014. Now your cost recovery goes down to 86%. You're still within your merit range of 70 to 79%. So staff is doing a great job on keeping this program going and cost effective. Certain things that they have done throughout the year. Well, you'll see the background. It's a state licensed program, and if you have any questions on that, I'd be happy to answer them at the conclusion. Some of the kids that we've offered for the kids during this particular program. We've had bike safety checks. We do basic aid training. We tour the power plant. There's field trips to the farmer's market. We had a Patriot Day celebration. There's various things, creeper crawler things over at Camp El Choro. It's the natural outdoor school across from Cuesta. Bring the kids out there. We get the Morbay Fire Department involved. We do a little fire safety and fire truck activity. We go out to the tide pools at North Point. There's Dr. Seuss Day, Recycled Day. There's Earth and Arbor Day celebrations with cost allocations, if I'm getting somewhere. If we can adjust those indirect cost allocations down, then your revenues are going to be going up, and you're going to see higher cost recoveries. And I think that's what staff is starting to do. We talked about it about a year ago, and that's the kind of direction we're going into. We're finding some success, but it's not an overnight process. And then we also do a registration for the school year opens in May. We use the lottery system. The enrollment very healthy for the next go around. So we don't lose anybody in this registration process, though it's a rather complicated process. And if you have a child in it, you know. But it's done so because of years of experience. It just hasn't been fair for new people to come in, and it just opens it up to fairness and equity across the board for everybody to try to participate in the program. So that's why we do the lottery. Right now, enrollment is full for the 2009-2010 school year. And then we're going to be giving priority to returning families. So including incoming kindergarten families, and that's important. So that concludes my staff report on the Kids Club 08-09. Be open to any questions if you have any now.
Does this report include kids camp that happened in the summertime?
No, it does not. Okay. I've asked staff to that's a different program that we'll evaluate and give you numbers on. This is strictly the Kids Club school year program. Mm. But that's a very good question. Thank you.
Any other questions? Can I entertain a motion for file?
Actually, I have another question.
Okay.
Both my sons participate in the summer camp, and it's great. It's really great, but I just question why they're using these buses, these cruise liner buses, to go to Hardy Pool. It seems
outrageous.
Can we save some money there, perhaps, or what's the reasoning behind that?
Crowley, you come up with a very good observation, and when I heard about it, I went, are we doing this? And what happens is we sign up well in advance for a bus to transport a certain number of kids to a certain location and back. We might get a different bus each time, whatever's the best one that's available. the price is the same. So you're right. Here they are in this luxury, you know, cruise liner.
So funny.
It's the same cost for us. Huh. So we're not expending revenues that we don't have. We're very, very tight with the budget. We want to make sure that we're, you know, very cautious about how we spend our money. We just don't throw it away. We don't get the luxury liner. So hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah, it does.
No more, no less. But they're more comfortable, which is nice.
They get to watch TV.
So basically, they don't want to ride with Mom anymore. They want to get on the bus.
Yeah.
Okay. So those two reports I have for you right now.
I'll make a motion to accept D1 and D2 for file.
I'll second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Moving on to E, declaration of future agenda items. Does anyone have agenda items to bring up for future discussion?
I'd like to suggest putting the, and I've forgotten the lady's name, the presentation about the halfway sign between San Francisco and LA, if we could put that on our, as a future agenda item, open for discussion.
I think it was Jenny?
Jenny Brantley.
Okay. Any other recommendations for future agenda items?
How long has it been since we've had an update on the whole bike path committee and all that? Can we get an update on that?
Has it been? Yes, we can. We can request one.
Are you talking about the bike committee?
Yeah.
They sent us a letter occasionally, correspondence. And I believe, do we not have Red here? Did he not come and speak? You know what? It was at council. I apologize. The commission has asked me to bring in the bike committee for an update. And I have asked Red to come in and give a presentation. He just needs to be contacted again and invited in. And
okay.
We'll try to arrange that for, if not the next meeting, then the following.
Okay, that'd be great.
Depending on his schedule.
Mm-hmm. Any other items for the agenda?
And an update on how the, now I'm going to totally forget, the area around
planning.
The rock, the master planning,
planning project
for that Coleman Park area is going.
In terms of the subcommittee?
Yes.
Or the subcommittee that's formed? So if we can get an update.
So you'd like to have Commissioner Mahan update you on that particular progress of the ad hoc committee?